My name is Andy Haynes. I work with the Baptist Convention of New England. I lead the collegiate team. So like Dave said, there's about 30 of us across the 6-state region that are working among college students to both reach through evangelism and make disciples of college students. And we do that in partnership with church planting and local churches. I'm going to spend this time this morning kind of unpacking God's work. I opened my Bible, but I only am going to go to one verse in a minute. I'm going to unpack God's work. I was asked to talk about what God is doing on the campuses of New England. And so that's where I'm going to share with you from. Even though I won't be expositing a text, I want you to know that the Bible and the Christian worldview are the impetus and the context for what we do on campuses. And I would say you would have the opportunity to join us in this work. And then I would say the Bible will be your impetus and context and very food, right, for the work. I moved to Rhode Island in 1998 from Delaware. I graduated college, got married to Amy, my wife, and we moved to Providence in the inner city to begin a work with students in that city. There's several colleges, just like many New England cities and towns. There's several colleges and a decent-sized student population in that city. So we began that work with the Baptist Convention of New England. We were there 11 years, had all three of my children there, Micah, Mia, and Michaela. And then in 2009, we moved to Worcester, Massachusetts, where I currently live and serve with the convention staff. In both of these places, we have begun efforts to reach students, and we have also led efforts in church planting. When I was in college, I was not planning on sending my life out in mission. Right? I wasn't planning on that at all. I went to the University of Delaware, which is a large state school. And my wife and I went. We were both Delaware residents. It was kind of our choice if you wanted to graduate without debt, right? That's where we went. And so we went, and it was my junior year. I'd been a plant and soil science major. I studied plant and crop breeding, and that's in my past now, but I can pollinate corn and soybean for those of you that are really interested in that kind of thing. Who can say that, right? But in my junior year, I had everything lined up. I was shopping for an engagement ring. I had an offer of grad school by an employer with employment after, right? So that's as good as it gets. And it included a truck, an F-150 dually. Not that I missed that. And that winter of my junior year, I was completely miserable, right? Just miserable. And the American dream was empty. So I had been part of a Christian fellowship. I'd been part of a church plant at the university. I was a believer. But that winter, about 15 of us went on a retreat together, and a man came and unpacked the book of Jonah for us. And he was describing Jonah, and you guys are familiar with the story, I'm sure, right? God calls him, he runs and gets put in a whale and spit out on shore. And then he goes to Nineveh and preaches. He preaches through Nineveh, and then at the end of the book, he climbs a hill on the other side of Nineveh and sits down to watch them be destroyed. I mean, he's kind of like sitting down for the show. His heart wasn't there, right? You may remember that it got hot, and God sent a vine that grew up and shaded him, so he was comfortable and again settling in for the show. And God then sent a worm that ate the vine, and Jonah just got angry. He goes, God, what are you doing? I'm angry. I'm angry enough to die, is his very words. I'm angry enough to die. And in Jonah 4:9, God said to Jonah, do you have any good reason to be angry about the plant? The plant, right? And he said, I have a good reason to be angry, even to death. And the Lord said, you had compassion on the plant, which you did not work and which you did not cause to grow, which came up overnight and perished overnight. Should I not have compassion on Nineveh, the great city in which there are more 120,000 persons who do not know the difference between their right and left hands? How confused. We talk about living in a confused age, but raise your right hand. We're still ahead of Nineveh. Okay? Right? But that's how confused they were. But God's heart was for people. Jonah's heart wasn't for people. I looked at my own heart and thought, God, I've been pursuing the wrong things. My heart wasn't there for people. And so it was at that moment I offered it up to God. I said, God, I have this plan. And I never really talked to you about it. And so here it is. And through just immediate succession of events, God turned the course of my life, right? From pursuing plant breeding to moving to the inner city of Providence, Rhode Island, and living in a very small apartment with the goal of reaching students, right? So I was going from an agricultural area to the inner city. And that change happened in the course of about 6 months' time. But that's what God does in our lives as we open up our lives to Him. Right. So part of my searching, when I realized, God, what would you have me do? And he burdened me with the students of New England. Now, I was in Delaware, which is not part of New England. I can't really explain it, how God burdened me for it, except that it was a very specific burden and it was for college students in New England. And I didn't know how this was going to unfold. But God kept opening the doors to get us where He did. A couple of the questions that kind of came to my mind through that process that I want to pose to you now too is, first, why college students? Right? Why would God call somebody to focus a life in on a population of college students? And here's what I would say to you, and this comes from my experience, this comes from my reading, this comes from what I'm saying, right? The college campus is the most strategic mission field on the planet. Very few people go to college. You're in the minority. The amount of education that you already have, even if this is your first semester, puts you in the very minority of people on the planet. And it means you will be a leader. And it means you are entrusted to lead others. Whether it's as a manager, small business owner, a pastor, whatever it is, you are going to be looked to already because of your education. It's strategic because this is the one time in life that people come together, live together, and it's a gathering of individuals and ideas all flooding together at the same time. Most college campuses in New England, except for this one and maybe Gordon, do not have chapel, right? The idea of God is not one of those ideas that's coming into the colleges of New England. But many other ideas are. So as students live their lives there, they're being taught, educated in these other ideas. It's a gathering of people. It's a gathering of nations. There are just over 300,000 Chinese on the college campuses of America right now. A large percentage of that is in New England. Saudi Arabia is increasing student population, Iran. I just read an article yesterday of UMass Amherst is starting to send representatives all throughout the Middle East, trying to reach the next group of students to come in and study, right? So South America, East Asia, Central Asia, Turkey, India, the large student populations. And I said it was the most strategic mission field on earth because it doesn't matter whether it's in Worcester, Massachusetts, or Wuhan, China. When I was on a campus in Wuhan, China, I met students from countries that we could never go visit. Right? But here they are studying. They are coming, and they're here. It's strategic because of the internationals. It's strategic because of the people that are there. It's strategic because of the ideas and worldviews that are being put forth. And Christ is Lord of all. And this is a strategic opportunity to reach people who are searching. This is the place where you set the trajectory of your life. The decisions even you guys are making now are setting the next 5, 10, 15, maybe 50 years of your life. You're setting the directory, the trajectory, the course of your life now. That's happening all over campuses. So a student who is, let me put it this way, a student who is reached and discipled is a missionary ready to go. Wherever they go to pursue work or employment or whatever. And I would even challenge you that you are in a very unique place because you will graduate with little to no debt. And so you will be in a place to do things that the average college student in America cannot dream about. In my work with students, it's not uncommon to see students graduating with a mortgage payment. That limits their availability for mission. So I applaud you for making the choice you have already in life. So that's why college students, what about New England? Why New England? And I would say if the college campus is the most strategic mission field on earth, New England is the most strategic of the strategic. The leaders are here. We know that. You guys that are from the area know that. They're here. When you look across our country, there's three regions of big student populations. The Northeast, where we are, California has huge student populations, and the Rust Belt, kind of the Great Lakes, around some of the Great Lakes, large, large schools. What's unique about New England is the individual focus of education that that brings. We don't have campuses of 50 and 60,000 students. We have campuses of 500 and 1,000 and 2,000. There's a high investment in the students of New England. It's strategic. New England is also unreached. You were just praying for South Burlington. That's very normal. When we did our research on the campuses of New England, it's easy for me to find out if there's a CREW chapter or an InterVarsity chapter or a Navigators chapter or an FCA chapter. And about 60% of the campuses don't have any of that. There's 230, with you guys, there's 238 campuses now. But 60% don't have any of those four ministries, right? However, you go to the church situation and it's even harder to discern. How many question marks were there just today, right? New England is a strategic place with unreached people and leading academies, right? This is a worthwhile place to plant your life, to make disciples. So what is God doing? That's kind of the big question, right? So what is he doing on this? And first I want to say, I believe that he is doing amazing things. When you hear stories of students walking into a gospel identity and away from an identity based on sexual orientation or philosophy or anything else, and they're walking into a gospel identity, it's transformation, it's a salvation that God is bringing to students. And they're repenting and putting their faith in him. That's awesome. That's the greatest work God is doing. He is opening eyes to the truth of Jesus Christ, and students are responding in faith and embracing Christ to follow him and put their trust in him. God is calling missionaries and missionary churches to make disciples among students. He's calling individuals that come and put their lives down and say, God, use me among these students to lead people to Christ and make disciples. And he's also calling churches. bodies of people to say, focus on this campus across the street or down the street or in your town. Right? There are new church planters coming to Boston because of the student populations. That's one of the things that draws their interest. There are churches across our region actively seeking to engage students. And I would say that churches, church plants, and missionaries are rising up to organize students into gospel witnessing communities on their campuses. How can they hear if no one's sent to preach? They can't. And so God is doing this. I also want to say that, you guys are students, so I'm kind of telling you about who you are, right? You know who you are. The average student in New England is academically inclined, globally minded, politically minded, you know? And I think that what you've seen, there were protests in Worcester, you know, you've read about some of the presidential protests that have gone on since the election. What's happening here is that God is overthrowing a false god. There's a generation that has put their hope in a government, or put their hope in a person, or put their hope in a party, or put their hope in a philosophy of how life should be and how the government could make that happen. And if nothing else, God is stripping that away. Right? So I believe it's an opportune time to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, because their true hope is found. Right? And so my prayer, when I say, what is God doing? My prayer is that right now, he is sovereignly orchestrating this situation to cause an awakening. That's my prayer, and I would ask you to join us in praying that. But I know for certain that God is working in it. Right? You know, I said missionaries are rising up. I would say missionaries are going and doing everything they can to reach students. One of my friends at the University of Maine in Orono, he drives Uber. Gets a captive audience in the back of his car, right? Driving them around campus and taking them around. He's met people and begun a Bible study out of that, right? So I guess, you know, I always think, okay, how are we going to reach these students? And here he is. I'm just going to drive Uber and get paid to do it. Okay, you know, that works. It's great. One in the Boston area translates on flexible hours so that she can be available to students. Right? One of the students in my city has been discipled and has taken a job at another university that we're trying to begin a work at. Right? He's taken a student job at that university for the sole purpose of connecting with incoming freshmen. God is calling people to this, and I stand amazed. When I say we work with churches and church plants, we are actively planting churches, especially in those large college towns. Right? So you think about the University of New Hampshire in Durham, New Hampshire. It's a college town. We are strategizing to plant a church that will focus on reaching students. It'd be a top priority of the church planted there. There's other churches being planted that are focusing on reaching students within their top three priorities. So if you think about church planting, you always have to go into a mindset, right? So if I'm going to plant a church, who am I going to reach? Right? And so we define a collegiate reaching church as one that strategizes toward college students as a top three priority. Right. And some of those churches have now become top 20 churches in our convention of churches in New England. Right. Some of them are in areas where alumni stay, and they continue to pour back in to reach students, and it continues to just grow and grow and grow through that. We have an emphasis on the state schools and the regional state schools because this is New Englanders. This is where they go to school. And so we want to see the state schools and the regional state schools and the community colleges have a gospel community. So The other question that I was asked to address is, what can you do? What can you do? So here I'm going to give you my plan for your life. And then you take it and decide what God wants you to do. Let me start with the now. I would say pray. Ask God to cross your path with the paths of students in Bennington. That your lives would intersect, that you could begin a friendship, a relationship, that you could share the gospel with them. Right? Ask God to use you. There's a ministry at Iowa State that's one of the largest college ministries in the nation. So, like 1,500 students a week gathered. Right? It's a large ministry. It's owned by Cornerstone Church. It's a church reaching students, and the alumni are pouring back through, and it just continues to grow and grow and grow. But that started through one missionary asking God to use him to reach three students in his first year 40 years ago, right? God answered that prayer. And then the three asked to reach three, and those nine, it just goes and goes and goes to keep reaching students. Right? Ask God to use you. I would say if you're interested in student ministry, certainly contact me, but look for ways to connect with students at the other area colleges here. Right? Make a point. Go walk the other campuses. Right? You are at a time of life when you look like them. I look strange when I come on campus, right? Like, who's the old dude? You're at a time of life, you just walk on campus. Go see what's going on. Go talk to people. Learn how they think, what they're thinking about. Find ways to connect, whether it's coffee houses or at a sporting event. Just start the conversation and get to the gospel in it, right? Share the gospel. The goal is beyond just contacting them. The goal is to lead them to Christ and make disciples, right? So set aside time that you can go and do this. Have conversation with people. Give people the opportunity to ask questions and respond, and set up follow-up appointments with them, right? It's well worth your time and energy, and you can do it, right? Just last year, a friend and I went in twos onto a campus in our town in Worcester and just started talking to people to see if anybody would be interested. And one student responded, right? One student responded to the gospel and said, I have some friends that need to hear this. Right? And out of that, a small group gets birthed, right? As more and more students respond, to the point that we had several dozen students gathered at the end of the year just for a question and answer. We just threw it out. You ask all your questions. We spent time the whole spring semester going through the Book of Mark. We just let them ask questions. And the questions were all over the map, right? But they're the heart questions, because the heart questions, God is destroying those idols, right? And so they're asking the heart questions. And if we're not there to provide the gospel, to preach the good news, to preach the word, how can they hear? Right. So what about after you graduate? Okay, just come join our team. I'm making that offer. Get in touch with me, come join our team. We'll put you out there, right? I'd say if you're thinking about church planting, consider planting in a college town. If you're thinking about church planting quickly, after you graduate here, consider a college town, because most church planters reach their peers and younger, right? So consider the special uniqueness of this stage of life that you're in to be able to reach college students. You're being discipled here for a reason, right? God has you here for a reason. And believe it or not, your degree is a byproduct of His reason. Your degree is not the main thing. Following Him, being a disciple, and making disciples, that's why He's got you here. So go ahead and step out on faith with Him. Right? We have opportunities, summer opportunities. If any of you are ever interested in doing something over the summer, we have opportunities that you could partner with us and serve in ministry in cities and in college towns, even in the summer, if you're interested in that type of thing. Consider being part of this. That's a challenge I want to put to you. But as I close, let me give you a couple key things to think about for the whole time, both now and after you graduate. I said pray. Continue to rely on God. It's awesome that you have a prayer room here. Wear it out, right? Wear it out. Second, be accountable and be holy. Right? And third, work is for the Lord and all that you do. Work is for the Lord. If you're willing to be used by Him and you're praying and you're willing to be holy and you're working as for the Lord, God will take you places you could never imagine. I never imagined being part of planting churches. I never imagined planting churches that would plant churches. I never imagined that God would use me in that kind of role. I never imagined reaching students that would reach students and go across the world sharing the gospel. Right? That was not my vision for life. And I'm glad that my vision was too small. Right? God's got a great vision for your life. Just step out in faith and follow Him. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your working among students in New England. I pray, God, that you would continue to draw students to yourself, and I pray that you would do it through sending your people, your church, your missionaries onto the campuses of this region, God, and that their work would be fruitful unto salvation of students, Lord. Father, I pray for these students here at Northeastern Baptist that you would call and use each of them, hold them closely, help them as they discern their identity in you to follow you and trust you for each step, God. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.